several times, how long? Because they realized this world was not their home, but they are just a passing through. It's good to be here tonight, amen. Thank God for the rain, don't we? Amen. God know what we need. Sometimes people say, I don't want to get out in the rain, but thank God we got rain, amen. Because we could be in countries where they don't have water. But I don't know about you, but God know what we need, and he sure do bless us. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad about it. I'm really glad about it. Let's go to John 16 tonight. Continue verse 13 there, somewhere around there. How be when he? Here we go, that spirit of truth. Amen. And y'all glad we got truth? Amen. Yes, come. Ain't came yet, but gonna come, right? Mark 9:1, Luke 24:45-47, Matthew 3:11, right? Yes, come. See, he would guide you. I don't know why he could guide them then, but folk don't want him to guide us now. Folk don't want the Bible no more. People don't want truth. Amen. Amen. People don't want truth. Truth runs people away. I've seen truth just divide folks. Amen. The truth gonna set us free. Amen. He will guide you. The word of the Holy Spirit say, all truth. Amen. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. See, this fulfillment now. See, that's the reason why I know. 66 book, right? See, this is why I know what I'm saying when I say, when you see the Bible and see what he's saying here, when he say, and he shall show it unto you. Well, the question you may ask, well, who is you? Well, the apostles, right? Because they were one told to go and sit at Jerusalem and tarry until they be endued with powers on high, right? Some of you stand there, should not tell you death till you see the kingdom come with what? Power. See, nobody here living today, not part of that you, right? Y'all hear the language what he's saying here? The reason why I'm saying that, because see, you got people today claim to have the miraculous indwelling of the Holy Spirit, have been baptized in the miraculous indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Well, how can you been baptized, number one, when you weren't there? Right? When the language said, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive the mind, and he shall show it unto you. See, you is the people that who he's talking to. Who is he talking to? He's talking to his apostles. See why? Because they was going to receive the miracles of the Holy Spirit, Mark 16:20, to confirm the word. So if you don't have that understanding, brethren, and I'm serious, that you can understand John 16:13, John 14:26, 15 chapter and verse number 26. See, if you don't have the understanding of Matthew 3:11, or Mark 16:20, in relationship to what he's saying here, see, you missing truth, and when you miss truth, you can't write the divine God word. See, you got to find the pattern that was set. See, in relationship to the scheme of redemption, in relationship to understanding what God will is. Then verse 15 says, all things that the Father has of mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. There he said again. And then, okay. How you doing, brother? Good to see you. That's all right, brother. We're glad to see you. All right. And then verse 16, he said, a little while, you shall not see me, Luke 19:10. Because why did he come? Seek and save that which was lost, right? And again, a little while, and you shall not see me because I go to the Father. See, he goes to the Father when the Father's will had been done. Then said some of the disciples, now here come now, they still didn't understand. Because they knew a king was going to come, but they thought the king was going to be a physical king versus a spiritual kingdom. See, then said some of the disciples among themselves, what is this that he said unto us? A little while you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me, and because I go to the Father. But see, they had been with Jesus for 3 years, but they just did not understand. Same way today. People do not understand the church in a spiritual sense, in relationship to what the work of the church is, Ephesians 4:12, save souls, but never for the saints, as well as to edify the body, but it must be done in a spiritual sense. So what Jesus simply saying, well, you're not going to see me, but you're going to see me again. But because I have came to did what the reason why you sent me to come, see, now I'm going back to the Father. See, and that's the whole point in fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. So verse 18 said, they said, therefore, what is this that he said? A little while we cannot what he said. And now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and they said unto them, do you inquire among yourself that I said a little while, and you shall see me, and again a little while you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we said, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Now, by verse 21, go back to the Old Testament and tie that back in to Genesis 3:15 and Galatians 4:4. All right? Because then let's go back to Galatians 4:4, because the promise was made in Genesis 3:15 that through the seed of a woman that Jesus would come into the world to redeem the world for the sins of the world. So let's go back and read in Galatians 4, all right? Really, you can go back and read Galatians 3, where he talks about the concept, but after faith is come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. But for time's sake, let's start reading in 4:1, all right? Because in 4:1, he said, now I say that the heir, Romans 8:16-17, as long as he is a child, differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors unto the time appointed of the Father. Now, the tutors and governors is the 39 books of the Old Testament that brought us unto Christ Jesus. That is the 5 under the patriarchal age, 12 in history, 5 encouragement, 17 major minor. What they were, tutors and governors. Romans 15:4, whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning. What they were, that's the 39 books here. The 39 books were lessons that was taught in the Old Testament to teach us about that heir, that child would come. Amen. Based on the fulfillment of the prophecy of Genesis 3:15. That through the seed of a woman, Jesus would come back down here to redeem mankind for the sins of the world. See, question, if the Holy Spirit put that much emphasis on it, well, the point, I don't understand, why would we need division in the church? Why would we need another church? Right? Because see, in Galatians, the problem were they wanted to go back to the law, where he said, which is not another gospel. He says, I'm surprised that you so soon removed from him who called you to another gospel. So he's defending the truth. So what I want you to see in your mind and what he's seeing here in Galatians, and we're going to tie it back to what Jesus is saying here when Jesus says, well, you're not going to see me, but you're going to see me again. But I'm going back to the Father. But see, they didn't understand that because they didn't understand the spirituality versus the physicality. See, the 39 books of the Old Testament was nothing but tutors. It was a teaching method. Same way today. It governs our lives today. We have examples in the day. Right? Sunday we talked about Hannah. Didn't we? Then we talked about that, the promise. See, in relationship to through her prayer and through her worship. We talked about the children of Israel. Right? Coming out of Egyptian bondage. How God led them. That's what he's talking about. They were tutors. See, that's where you got to see the 39. But see, how in the world are you going to see the 39, brethren, when you don't understand it, when you can't say, well, 5:12, 5:17? Because you don't understand. You don't understand the patriarchal age. See, in relationship to the patriarchal father, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. that to Exodus 1, there arose a king that did not know Joseph. And then you watch that seed travel. You got it in your book. See, from the beginning until all the way to zero to when Matthew came. Y'all understand what I'm saying? See, we're not spending time on that because, see, that's the reason why people don't have understanding. They don't have understanding because they don't know how the book works. If you don't know how the book works, you ain't going to get no understanding. And that's anything in life. Am I right? But especially when you come to the Word of God. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So when I continuously in a repetitious way keep saying 39:27, I know some of you may say, well, he keeps saying that. Well, keep saying that until you understand, because see, that's the only thing that's going to cause us to grow is understanding. Because see, they didn't understand. Because after Jesus said it, they got among themselves and started whispering. How he going to do that? How he going to say we ain't going to see him and going to see him again? How he going to do that? That's double repetitious. How you going to see somebody, but you ain't going to see nobody? And then he's going to say, I'm going to the Father. But still, he's going to say, you're going to see me. Well, we do see him. We got the church. Right? He's the head of the church. Am I right? And that's what he's talking about. Y'all with me? So if you're in Galatians 4:2, see, tutors and governors, you need to write 39 somewhere. Until the time appointed of the Father. You remember Ephesians 3, it was preordained, right? Am I right? See, it was predestined. We were chosen. See, we didn't know the time, but God knew time. And time came. Verse 3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage. That's what the old law is, bondage. See, why do you want to hold on to the law? Under the elements of the world, it was fleshly. The old law, it's fleshly. The new law is spiritual. The old law couldn't save you. If it did, why would we need a new one? I mean, if we could have been saved under the old law, well, why did we need a new one? So you say Old Testament what? New Testament. Well, if the old could have done the job, well, why would we need a new one? You understand that? That's amazing when people say, well, Old Testament, New Testament, but still want to go back to the old. Everything I got old, I don't want to go back to it no more. I got something what? New. Ain't that the way with you? Because the new replaced the what? The old. Am I right? But look at verse 4. Y'all with me? Here, but when the fullness of the time was come. Now we in future tense. Before is coming. Now has come. Why would he say has come? Because now we in the 21 books that what? That's written to us for to be faithful with, right? To the church, right? See, before we're talking about where he is coming. I'm coming. It's gonna come, but now was come. See, God sent forth his son. See, here we go again. Genesis 3:15, made of a woman, made under the law, right? To do what? To redeem. See, that's the reason why he came. To redeem. Why did he come? To redeem. How did he do it? Through the seed of a woman. That's the reason why he's going to go back and we're going to look at it. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Y'all with me? See, and that's what he's saying here. But see, you got to understand. I'm telling you, brethren, if you don't understand that, if you don't understand the 5:12, 5:17, I'm telling you, you're not going to understand grace and truth. Because everything hinged on from the beginning of time. Because everything had a purpose, and his purpose had to be fulfilled in order for us to have proper understanding. And that's the reason why. The world don't understand. See, when you sit down and talk to people and they don't understand, they look at you like they're a total puzzle. They don't understand because they just don't understand concept. You got people in the Church of Christ don't understand. Just like the apostles. Because if they did, they would do better. Because you know we talked about faith without works and what? See, if you got right faith, you're going to have right works. So when your works ain't right, something wrong with your faith. When your living is not backed up by the tutors and the governors that we talked about, it's not backed up by the 66, and something is wrong, something wrong with your faith. Because faith, if it's right, it's going to motivate you to have good works. You can't have good faith and have bad works. You just can't do it. Good faith will change anything. Change anything in your life. Romans 12, 2, be not conformed, be transformed. You be transformed. That's what Christian living is all about. But see, you got to understand it. See, as Hebrews 5 says, the first oracles of the Word of God. That's the reason why they need to be taught again. They need to be taught the first principles. What are the first principles? What I'm saying repetitiously all the time. Because if you don't understand that, you're not going to understand God's will. And when you understand God's will, guess what? You have bad faith. Ain't but one faith, right? Ephesians 4:4, right? See? And that faith got to be built up with substance. That's the reason why he gave us that spirit of truth, that comforter. He gave it to the apostle, right? He promised it then, right? Until now, we know in part and prophesied in part, but when that which is perfect to come, that in part shall be what? That's what we got. But see, if you don't understand that, you went to Galatians and said, what are you talking about? Tutors? What are you talking about? See, if you didn't understand that and tie that back in, Romans 15:4, what's those things are written for time? Written for our learning. You understand what I'm saying? See, learning. See, so that we can have the comfort. See, but see, you got to understand that, tie all that in so that you can have good faith. A good root of test in your life and my life is that when you live, and each day you live, and as you live each day, and nobody know you no better than you know yourself, nobody know me no better than I know myself, the way you live, and you know how you live. Now, you can fool me. Or you may fool everybody in this church, but God looks high and God looks low. God know your mindset. God know how you think. God know everything about you. And based on how you living, you can test what kind of faith you got. Because if there's no change in your life. See, every day the Lord gives us a new day. That's hope. Whatever happened today, you can correct if the Lord lets you see one more day. It's a new day. I tell people all the time, you can wake up in the morning broke as a hang. A he hang. Y'all know what a he hang is? You can be broke as a he hang. Some old folks say broke as a he hang. I don't know what it is myself. And but that afternoon, you don't have to be. You don't. You don't. I mean, you don't have to be. That's the free moral agency that God gives us. That there's no creature that God created that gives us that mindset that we control whatever we have. And that's the same thing with spirituality. But folks, you got to be truthful with yourself. And then what good do it do to try to fool me? I don't have a half of hell to put you in. I mean, why you want to make yourself look good in front of me first? Why would you? I ain't got no help to put you in. I'm trying to get in there myself, amen? You with me? But I'm saying all this, brother, you got to understand that in relationship to understanding what is the Word of God. So let's go back to John 16 right quick. Y'all with me? Okay, hope you do. So you go back to John 16, he said, in verse 21, he goes back. And he picks back up what Genesis 3:15, Galatians 4 said. He said, woman, when she is travailed, have sorrow. So that's childbirth, right? Because her hour, here we go, is come. Now, hadn't came yet now. It gonna come, right? That Jesus would come through the seed of who? Woman. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more than the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. See, that's the whole concept. See, in life, before we are born again, when we're in the flesh, in case you didn't know, you are in pain. People think sin is fun. You go back and look at your life and tell the truth. When you was in the world, or when I was in the world, and you go back and think about all that you did in the world, and all what you did to other people in the world, and all what you did, see, it'll make chill bumps come up on you to make you say, there had to be a God for what I did. Amen. And all the pain, all the suffering that I did. See, the devil want to make it be bright lights, but it ain't bright lights because, see, that's the law of reciprocity, is that what goes up going to come down. Amen. Just think about it sometime. See, last Sunday I talked about that meantime. See, in that meantime, you think about your life and think about the goodness of God and how far God has brought you. Amen. And think about the past and now. Come on, man. Well, it's that same concept. See, before the child came, the world was lost. We just got to read in Galatians 4. They were in bondage. See, bondage means slavery. See, that's what sin is. You're a slave to sin. The way people are walking around cussing, raising all kinds of sin, cheating on their wife, cheating on their husband, all that goes on in TV with homosexuality, they don't realize, man. They don't realize what encompassed their lives. They don't control their lives. Something else controls them. Amen. When you wake up in the morning and wake up wanting to sin, who controls you? Satan. When I work for the Post Herald, I just go to many stores at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I just see people waiting on stores to open. And I be sitting back looking at them, and they want like a paint, a Mad Dog 40-40, I guess that's what they call it, I don't know what it's called. That wine? 2020, okay. I said to myself, why in the world would they be drinking 2020 at 2 o'clock in the morning? It controls them. They just couldn't help themselves. I said, it looked like they be wanting some orange juice or something. But sin controlled them. That's what he's talking about here. See, the pain of travail, of childbearing, is painful. Amen. But when they deliver that child, it's the beauty of that child. See, in relationship. And that's what he's saying here. He says, she remember no more the anguish. See, you women know about that, right? When you have been in childbearing for 8, 10 hours, 20 hours, whatever it may be, the anguish, I mean, you mad at your husband, don't say nothing to me. You did this. That's what I've seen on TV. I ain't never been there. See, anguish, but when that baby comes and they show you that baby, it's all smiles, ain't it? See, you forget all about that pain, don't you? But that little bit of baby just take care of everything, right? Well, that's the same thing of being born again. See, you've been born again into the family of God. You understand? In the world, bondage, pain, no more. You're happy. Joy. Why? Because you're a child of God. But look at verse 22. And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your joy no man take it from you. Now underline that. See, once you, please see this. If you ain't got this joy, see, something wrong with the faith. Because see, you're in bondage, you're in sorrow, now you're born again, and once you reach that plateau, and once you've been transformed from a fleshly spirit to a spiritual spirit, now, see, he said, this joy, nobody can do what? Do y'all believe that? I don't care what they do to you. I don't care what the world do to you. That's a joy that nobody can never take from you. But you got to have the right word. Faith. Go with me to James right quick. See, and then we're going to go back. Y'all with me? James 1. We've been studying this in James 1. See, in James 1, he talked about this here. James 1. See, verse 2. Y'all see that? See, he said, my brethren, count it all what? See, why would you call out joy when you got a bad faith? Or when you're still in travail, or when you're still in sorrow, or when you're still in pain, or when you ain't been true to born again? See, Count all joy when you fall into divers temptations. See, knowing, see, that's that mind concept, right? This, that the testing of your faith worketh what? But you got to have good faith. So you got to have good understanding. You got to have knowledge, amen, that when your faith is tried, that you're going to say, well, Lord, just let thy will be done. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect. And those words again. Entire, wanting nothing. That's the joy that we have. Why? Because the world what don't have no control over us. Amen. Holy Spirit right there and go to Philippians. Philippians 4. See, can nobody take our joy, man? We something else. Philippians chapter 4. All right? And beginning in verse number 4. You hear me? He said, rejoice how? In the Lord. You can't rejoice in bondage, can you? See, that's what Jesus did when he came. See, when that child came in the world, he brought joy into the world. See, so that we can rejoice, so we can count all joy. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. But look at verse 6. He said, be careful for what? Nothing. But everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, here we go. Let your request be made known to God. Now, if you got your Bible, write John 14:14, John 15:14, because in John 14:14, we talked about that, didn't we? You remember John 14:14? If you ask anything in my name, I will do for you. And then 15:14, he said here, 15:14, he said, you are my friend if you do whatever I have commanded you, right? In relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. Okay? See, and that's the whole concept. That's the joy that we have in relationship to being in Christ Jesus. See, that's a continuation of joy. And guess what? In verse 22, can't nobody take it from you. Now, let's look at it. When you lose joy, or when you don't have joy, do you see a problem? What's the problem? No faith. Amen? See, faith, that mindset, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know, faith is, if I just can just define it, it's just mental understanding. Ephesians 4:17, you understanding what is the will of the Lord. It's that mindset, Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. Ain't nothing but mental. Now, if you don't ever put nothing in here, get understanding, what kind of faith you going to have? Or when you put wrong faith in. See, when you in error, or when you're not in truth, that's wrong faith. Because I have one faith, right? See, or when you are guided by smooth speeches that deceive the hearts of the simple, because you don't study for yourself. That only happens because you don't study for yourself. Because when you study for yourself, and when you know God's word, I don't care what I say. If you know it's wrong, you know it's what? Don't make no difference. You say, well, Al, he the preacher. I don't care. He wrong. Right or wrong. But that's what your right's supposed to be by us being free of our agents. Because, see, you don't want nothing to cause your faith to be diluted or watered down or not be at full strength. Because, see, when it's not at full strength, you can't have no joy. You can't rejoice always. See, that joy not going to be with you in good times and bad times. Because in life, there's going to be some bad times. Just because you're a Christian, that means your life ain't going to be always walking around. Everyone, Peter said, if you're going to suffer, suffer as a what? Christian. There's going to be good times. There's going to be some bad times. Everyone, he said, brother, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Because there's going to be divers. There's going to be various situations that you're going to face every day in your life. Tomorrow, this afternoon, wherever it may be, there are going to be situations in your life that a decision is going to have to be made, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. If you're a man, husband, sometimes you're going to have to stand up. Sometimes the decision you make might not be popular with your wife or with your children. But because of Ephesians 5, you're the head of your family. You got to stand up for what's right in order to maintain joy. You're going to have to do it. I mean, that woman may say, well, I ain't going to speak to you for a week, but that's all right. You still smile. Amen. They may say, get it for yourself. I'm glad my mama taught me how to get it for myself. I pretty much can cook anything I want except a cake. I probably can make a mess of that if I tried it. Amen. But see, truth is going to stand when everything else is what? But it all hinges on faith, folks. And let me tell you something. I'm going to say it one more time. You know when your faith is on shaky ground when you go contrary to the word. Or when your faith, when you say count all joy, that is, that when you fall to diverse temptations, you don't be on the winning end. And you're going to fall, but you're going to be on the winning end. You're going to win every time. We're going to win the battle before we can fight the fight. If you let this word what fight for you. That's what Ephesians 6 said, put on the whole armor of God so you can fight the wiles of the devil. Or James 4:7 said, when you submit, you resist, you draw. See, when you submit, you resist. See, so you can draw to him with mindset so he can humble you but bring you back up. Because that's what we need, folks. And that's what Jesus is saying when he told them, I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to come back. I'm going back to the Father. And they said to him, no, you can't do that. How you going to do that? Y'all going to be sorry. Y'all going to weep and y'all going to cry. But that's all right. It's going to bring joy. And then he goes back and he ties in how that woman, when she go in travail, that when she have birth, she have anguish. She anguish and there's pain. But that's all right. When that baby comes, it's going to bring joy. And when Christ came into the world in Acts 2 and established the church, man, on the day of Pentecost had to be a happy day. Acts 2:47, praising God, having favor with all the people. Lord, I ask to the church daily, such as you say, man, that was one of the best days in those people's lives. And that should be the same thing when you say, when I obeyed the gospel and put Christ on in baptism and rose to walk in newness of life, man, that was a new day. And right then, man, Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful. Man, right then, you should start building your faith. As newborn babe desire, the sincere milk of the word, teach them to observe all things which I command. For each day we live, we're just getting gooder and gooder. That's what it is. Just getting gooder and gooder because, see, you want good faith. Because, see, the level of your faith determines what kind of work you get. See, same thing. A long time ago, they didn't have off-brand stuff. See, back a long time ago, you went to the store, they had one brand. But now, you know, you can get generics, and you can get this brand, this brand, this brand. But if just some about them cheap brands just don't do just as good a job, it's a real thing. If you don't believe me, go buy some Crisco. And then go buy some cheap oil. And then you throw that chicken on that cheap oil, the flour won't even stay on it. Y'all think I'm playing? Try it. And that Crisco, when you throw it in there, it's just going to gel that flour on that chicken. It's going to be just as crisp and pretty. Ain't that right? It just ain't the same. Because, see, they don't put the same ingredients. And the reason why I know it, I got a friend who's working in Tuscaloosa down at the bakery, at Wholesome Bakery, I believe his name was. And he told me, he said, yeah, we make bread for Food World. We make bread for this company. We make bread for this company. He said, but when we make our bread, we may put 25 bags of sugar in it. But when we Food World bread, they might not give us 4 bags. And that's the reason why when you buy it and make a sandwich and put all your stuff on there and pick it up, it fall apart. And your hand be full of mayonnaise. Ain't no heaven, y'all. And don't try to cut it in half. But you buy some good old bread. All that sugar gonna make it stick together. Am I right? That's the same thing with faith. It's substance. It's made up of 66 books, folks. Am I right? It's gonna stick together because it's a 2 Timothy 3, it's inspiration. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All 66 books. So when your faith, see, that's what he's saying here. When your faith get watered down, that's really why they just didn't understand. Because their mental capability hadn't got there. Why you think he gave them the miraculous indwelling of the Holy Spirit? For it may teach them, bring back remembrance of all those things. He didn't trust it to them. If he trusted them, we wouldn't have this. Amen? I listened to the news, glancing at it one day, and they were talking about the Methodist Church was protesting the other day, and they were talking about inclusion. And that's the word they use, inclusion. And what they wanted to do is go against Wesley, and they're the words they use. Herman Wesley doctrine of the Methodist Church. Herman Wesley started the Methodist Church, and in their doctrine, it says that homosexuality goes against the nature of God. And what they was doing, they were trying to get it changed and use the word inclusion, because what they wanted to do was the Methodist Church to accept or allow Methodist ministers to marry people of the same sex. Or allow homosexuals to become ministers in the Methodist Church. But in order for them to do it, they had to put it before the Congress or they board, and that board would have to make a decision whether they're going to keep it as the Wesley doctrine is written. They said nothing about the Bible. Or were they going to change it? And then one woman said the bishop over the diocese of Birmingham, which is a woman, she was holding on to the Wesley doctrine, and the lady said, well, I can understand how she feel because that's her job. That's what she's supposed to do. She can't go against the Methodist doctrine. She can't go against what's already been set in rules. It's like on your job. John, you have rules that you have to go by. Some jobs have bylaws. Some jobs have rules and regulations. Some jobs, when they go there, they give you. Like when I was in class, one of the rules that they had, this man had, was that in a speech class, that when you gave a speech, you couldn't wear blue jeans. Nobody. If you came and wore blue jeans, you got a zero. What couple of girls did it? He gave them zero. They took him to his supervisor to protest because they thought it wasn't fair. He said, I don't know what's not fair. I gave him a syllabus. Here it is in the syllabus. It's written in the syllabus. This is the rules. You had them. First day of class, I gave it to you. You knew what the rules were. And what could the people say? Syllabus was there. You knew what you could do and what you couldn't do. What the rules were, what the rules were. And the point that I'm saying, go back to faith. See, when your faith is watered down, and that's what we talked about in James. See, faith without works is impossible to please God without faith. See, when you don't have good faith, you can't have good works. And that's the reason why people do the same thing over and over and over again. Okay, how much they repent. And you know what? You can't repent properly if you don't know the word, how to correct, how to repent. Now, you can get up and make a statement. That's all you can do. You can make a statement. But how can you make a statement and know you're wrong but don't know how to correct it? Or you don't have enough faith there, understanding to make corrections. Y'all with me? Because the only way you're going to know how to correct it, you got to have faith. Because this is the book to correct it by, right? So this tells you how to correct the problem. Any problem we have in life, any problem, the book got an answer. I don't care what kind of problem you got. The book going to give you an answer. Everyone, he tell you to study, show yourself approved unto God. Because, see, to solve the problem, the only way you're going to solve it is with good faith. Now, the problem comes in is because When I depart, grieve wolves will enter in, not sparing the flock, speaking perverse doctrine. Too much perverse doctrine around here. It's just too much. See, it's like this here. See, when Fan Paul made the decision, because we understood 1 Corinthians 11, because we understood Acts 27, or we understood how the Lord's Supper and what the five items of worship are in relationship with the Lord's Supper is and how it's supposed to have been done, well, don't everybody should come to that same conclusion? Am I right? Guess what, y'all? 5 o'clock. You got to be here at 5 o'clock. Y'all read this in the paper? You didn't see it? Huh? You didn't see it? Did you see the paper today? This Friday. Down there on the Tallapoosa. It's a service station down there. And you got to be there at 5. And the line goes, you can come early if you want to. But at 5 o'clock, whoever in line, they're going to cut it off. And whoever pulled up, I don't care if you need 2 gallons, I don't care if you need a 40-gallon, I don't care how much gas you need, you can get your car filled up. You can go empty. But whatever you need, ain't no limit. But they will fill your car until you say, and your tank is full. Now, if you at 5 o'clock, if you ain't there, you can't get in line because they're going to cut it off. Did you hear what I just said? Did you understand what I just said? Is that fair? You think everybody will understand that? Why? So they will understand that. Why? Free gas. That's what they want. But what's the difference when the Lord tells you to do something? Now, don't go on Tallapoosa because that's not true. It's just an illustration. It's bad faith. Because I want you to go down there and they say, Brother Lyle said it. But do you see the point that I'm saying? See, when God tells you to do something, and we're all supposed to speak the same thing, build the same mind, how come we all can't understand that? Bad faith. Bad faith. Bad faith. And when you got bad faith, you got bad works. And that's what Jesus is trying to get them to see here in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. And that's the reason why I go back to verse 22. He said, and your joy, no man take it from you. Nobody. Now, if you let them take it, who to blame? Why would they take it? Because your faith is weak. Amen? Because it's mindset. See, people will try to get on your nerves. People will try to ride you. Sometimes people say things just to see how strong you are. But that's the reason why they say, count all joy when you do what? Fall into divers temptations. Look at verse 23. He said, and in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father. Now watch it now. In my name, Matthew 28, 20, right? By his authority, because it got to be done by the 66 book, right? He will give it to you. Now think about this here. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. Well, how can you ask the Father in your name if you don't know what his name is? How are you going to get it when you don't understand this? Because everything got to be done. It got to be done by what? The book. Right? Sometimes we have foolish prayers. Sometimes we ask for things that don't make sense. Right? Lord, just let thy will be done. Amen? For we know not what to pray for. Romans 8, right? See, he is an intercessor. We are his children, right? We are heirs of God and we are joint heirs of Jesus Christ. See, he wants our joy to be full. He wants us to rejoice, right? And because of that, God's will be done in our life if you got good faith. So when you pray a prayer and you asked in his name, well, how can you ask in his name when it violates the principle of his name? Can't do it. Can you do it? You can't do it. Because see, the rain going to shine on the just and the unjust. But especially us, right? Matthew 6:33, if we seek you what? First, the kingdom of God. Look at verse 24. He's a hitherto, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be full. Now tie all that back into verse 22. Tie all that back into John 14:14. See, you tying all that in. See, that's what he's talking about. Well, and that woman in Triver gonna have pain. She's gonna anguish. But when you're born again, when that baby comes, what we gonna have? They're gonna be happy. Y'all come on by and see the baby. That's a happy occasion. See, that's the reason why we got joy. Amen. It's good to be a Christian, amen. It really is good to be a Christian. Next week we'll pick back up. We have a lot of time. Y'all understand that? Yes, sir. All right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's it. That's it. Well, see, the whole chapter, Shona, when you look at the whole chapter of 2 Timothy, see, the whole point was endurance. See, be steadfast. See, the foundation of being a Christian is sure. Right? See, look at verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as good soldiers of Christ. Now, you can continue to read on, but look at verse 15. See, we do that by studying to show thyself approved unto God, a worker need not to be ashamed, but right divine the word of truth. Now, this is what you said. But as a conjunction, see, we're simply saying that, number one, if you don't do the next verse, well, you can't have none of the above. You see what I'm saying? He said, but shun, profane, vain bubbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as though as a canker, of whom is, and he talks about two people who have those characterizations, who lie demonstrate that. See, and that's what we've been talking about all night. See, any time in life whereby we just talk foolish talking, or we're vain babbling. You talk, but you don't know what you're talking about. See, your life just is complete confusion. Well, see, it's that because number one, you don't study to show yourself approved unto God, or you're not enduring or holding on to the faith. And you can't hold on if you ain't got it here. This is like I said. See, in life, when we're traveling down highway tonight or tomorrow, and you look at your life, if your life is not an characterization of the Holy Spirit, like he said in 2 Corinthians 3:2, well, written epistles written in the heart of all men, that is to let our light shine. Well, see, how can you say that you are a Christian? That's the reason why, get what, y'all? He's long-suffering toward us. Because really, if you think about it, by the life that we live, none of us deserve to go to heaven. Everyone give you grace and mercy. But you know what? He will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. God ain't going to let us continue to play with him. And you come over here and act like you this and that, but your life reflects something else where ain't nobody around you. And I think one of the biggest mistakes is that we fail to develop faith. And when you don't develop faith, or when you don't grow in the grace and knowledge, or when you're not faithful unto death, when you don't do those things, I'm not talking about on Wednesday and Sunday. This is something you got to do every day. Every day. Why you think when the early church started, they went, They went to house daily. And the infancy, they needed it. It wouldn't hurt us if we came every day. You eat every day, don't you? Right? See, and but the problem comes in is because it's intangible. You see food. See, you see that. See, that's the reason why when you go to a smoking bar, you hog out. Now, you can go to a restaurant, and I say this all the time. You went to a restaurant, all two sides and one vegetable. You know that? They give you a little green, and give you a little this, and give you one piece of meat. And you eat that and say, that sure was good. And you say you're full. But let somebody put five pork chops in front of you. You ain't going to stop to eat all of them. Ain't that the truth? You're going to keep on eating, am I right? I remember one time I went to Texas, Abilene Christian. Homewood sent me up there to a church growth seminar. And this white family who was a missionary who had been to Africa for 20 years. And they had came back to the States, but they were living in Abilene. So the elders contacted them and told them I was coming up. So they invited me over to their house to dinner one day. And I went over there and ate with them. And they had a big old pile of peas, a big old bowl of bread. But they gave everybody one piece of chicken. And I kept looking around because I ain't seen no more chicken. And I kept saying to myself, why did they give you one piece? But that's all they put out. Everybody got one piece. Now you can eat all the peas you want, all the bread you want. You can drink all the water they want, but they ain't get about one chicken. So the next day I asked him, I said, man, that was a good meal. That chicken was good. I wish you could have me another piece. He said, no, that ain't what we do. He said, over in Africa, we just didn't have much meat. It just was ripe. And we just learned that when we got it, you know, we didn't have very much. We just was blessed just to get one piece, and we do the same thing over here. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, I wanted some chicken so bad, when I left there, I went by Church of Chicken and bought me a three-piece. But, because I'd never been around, when I ate, everybody put the food on the table. You understand what I'm saying? And what the heck do with that? Some things you remember, some things you don't. But here we go again. It's the endurance. See, I know what it was. See, some folks got control, some folks don't. They didn't have no problem with it. That's the way they did it. That's the way they grew up with it. Now, if you've never been around that and not was accustomed to that, it'd been a lot hard for you. See, and that was the problem. And that's the same thing with the word. And that's what he's talking about in Timothy 2. See, you got to be able to endure. You got to be able to fight the good fight of faith. You got to be able to hold on to it. And the only way you're going to do it, you got to study, show yourself approved. Now, be careful. There are those out there who are trying to steal your joy. And see, he's talking about, be careful now. These people out here, they run their mouth. Dah, 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 dah. You got a lot of Christians in the church. You're going to hear everything going on in the church. See, we get all kinds of letters here about things going on. Some you don't even see. Somebody say, well, you all, somebody told me one time, you go here. He said, Brother Lyle, you ought not to do that. They said, you ought to read it and let people make the decision. They said where they want to go. I said, and ain't they decision? Why would I tell you something wrong, something I know is wrong, and read it to you and I know it's wrong? That's right or wrong. You don't subject yourself to that. And what you don't know ain't going to hurt you. Am I right? So I'm not going to let no false teaching come in here and I'm going to read and promote it. He said, well, no, you ain't got that right. Who told you had that right? You ought to just read it. It is that right. Let me get it first. It may bypass me. And you do it. See, but I ain't going to do it. And see, let me tell you something that never hurt. See, let me tell you something. When you go to 2 John 9, when the Bible said, do not partake of the evil deed. See, I pray for brother. I do every day. I pray for Aaron, brother, because it could be me. But I don't have nothing to do with them. Now, I pray for them, but I don't partake with nothing they do. That's what the Bible says. Now, you may say, well, Al, you think you're something. No, no, no. See, I'm trying to protect what I got. See, I'm happy now. I got joy now. See, and I don't want nobody to take it. So why am I going to violate my faith just to satisfy or please somebody when they're out of fellowship because they chose to live the way they want to live? I didn't do it. But I do have the word when the Bible says, withdraw from them, come ye out from them, whatever may say. So I pray for them. I really do. I pray for my brethren. Amen. I pray that they'll come to understand the truth. But for me associating with them, I don't. See, sometimes y'all make a noun and say, pray. I don't do that. Now, privately, I will. You understand what I'm saying? But that's it. And the reason why, it was what Sean said. See, you got to be able to endure. And you can't let nothing come in there, go filtrate it. Or see, once you get faith punching into it, and you start dipping into it, now I feel soft if you ain't strong. Now, if you a little bit strong, you can hit it off. You understand what I'm saying? But you have to be careful because that devil's a roaring lion. And that devil's more powerful than me. Do y'all not know that? He powerful than anybody in here. He been at this game a long time. And I ain't going to play in his hands. So I'm very careful about that, and I really am. Not that I'm using the word inclusion. No, I'm not saying that. Because I do pray for them. I pray that they will come to our repentance. You know what I'm saying? But for me, missing my light with them, I just don't. Okay? Well, we're out of time. In fact, we went over time. And we're waiting till the rain stop. Did it stop? But we're going to end anyway. Okay. Appreciate you being with us so much. All right, brother. Don't forget about Saturday at 9 o'clock.